My name is Bob Moses. When I first came to Mississippi in the summer of 1960, and I began working with the voter registration projects in Mississippi in the summer of 1961. We carried out projects in the southwest corner of Mississippi that year, and the next summer we had moved up to the Delta area, where there was a higher concentration of Negroes, and we began projects in six or more Delta towns, including Greenwood, Mississippi. The Greenwood Voter Registration Project, which erupted into national prominence, fits best into three stages. The first stage lasted for 6 months and started in August of 1962, when Samuel Block went into Greenwood as a field secretary. He was joined later on that month by Willie Peacock from Charleston, Mississippi, after he'd been chased out by a mob at the voting office in Greenwood. What did they do for those 6 months? Well, for 6 months, primarily, they conducted a very intensive, very nerve-wracking voter registration campaign, in which they contacted the Negroes in the community. And really, at that time, the Negroes in the community were not with them. And as most of the Negroes were aware that they were in town, were aware that the white power structure did not want them in town, and were aware that for the time being they were not going to associate with Sam. They couldn't find a place to live. They couldn't find a place to meet. And for 6 months they operated pretty much on the streets, knocking from door to door, contacting people, getting over the fear, which is basic in all of these towns, that they were going to leave them. That is, most of the people felt that Sam and Willie were coming in to work for a little while, to stir up some trouble, to agitate, and then be gone. And what they had to convince the people of was that they were there to stay. And this is what they did from August of 1962 until December 1962. The coming of the new year brought a coming of a new plateau in the voter registration project in Greenwood. A food and clothing drive was organized around the country and shipped into Greenwood, and thousands of people turned out from the plantations and in town to stand in line, to wait in the cold, to get a box of food, to take it home to a family of 8, 10 children who were literally starving. Now, you should understand that LaFleur County did not have a bad cotton crop that year. In the first place, they had a bumper crop. They turned in more cotton and made more money than they had the year before. But it was a dry season. The cotton was low off the ground, and they were able to use the machines to go in and pick the cotton, which meant that the Negroes didn't share in this wealth, or shared less than they usually do. So that you had a lot of Negro families who were destitute, who were just rock-bottom poor, poverty which we can't imagine in most parts of the United States, poverty in which the children really didn't have food, which little babies didn't have milk, in which the mothers were not able to send their kids to school because they didn't have shoes and they didn't have winter clothes. It was in this situation you had a chance to tell thousands of people, first, that they were poor, second, why they were poor, and third, what were some of the things that they had to do in order to alleviate their poverty. This meant you had a chance to tell thousands of people that they needed to walk down to the courthouse to register and vote. For the first time, you had hundreds of people lined up at the courthouse in Greenwood, which, remember, is the home of the Citizens Council, in the heart of the Delta of Mississippi, asking to be registered to vote even though they couldn't read and write. And this is very crucial, because for one thing, the Negro has a great fear of being ashamed when he goes down to the courthouse and they ask him questions and he doesn't know the answer. And even a greater fear of being asked to write something or read something when he can't read and write. But the poverty was so rife that they overcame this fear. If you can imagine it, people were standing in line in front of the church waiting for food while their plantation owner was riding by in the streets, calling out their names and telling them to leave and go back to the plantations, and they were telling him that they were going to stand there and get their food because their children were hungry. The second stage led rapidly into the third stage. The large numbers of Negroes congregating at the county courthouse frightened the white people, and they turned to violence. On February 28th, Jimmy Travis, myself, and Randolph Blackwell drove to Greenwood to get a look at the project firsthand to see how it was going. That evening, as we were leaving, Jimmy spotted a car with three white men in it and said that they had been circling around the office that day. They had parked down the street a little ways. We pulled up behind them. It was dark, and we had our lights shining at them. There were three white men in a white Buick. We looked at them. They turned around, looked at us. We drove on to the office. I got out, told Sam and Willie that they better close up. There were suspicious men around. We then drove on out to a grill to gas up before going on out to the highway. We took a back road out to the highway, and when we got there, the men were sitting across from the highway facing us. They drove slowly by us and didn't see us until they got parallel. And then as we were passing, they spotted us, backed up, turned around, and followed us out of town. This time they had on dark glasses. It was the same car. They followed us for 7 miles out of town and then finally opened up. In a spray of bullets like a machine gun, glass was splattering everywhere. Jimmy shouted that he was hit, slumped down into my lap in the front seat, and we went off the road. I grabbed at the wheel and stepped on the brakes as Randolph was hollering, "Hit the brakes, hit the brakes." And finally, we brought the car to a stop. Glass was everywhere, all over the seat. The windows were all blown out. Jimmy was slumped in my lap, and Randolph came around and took the car. He drove on to MVC campus, Mississippi Vocational College, which was about a few hundred yards up the road. From there, we went to the hospital in town, and the doctor examined Jimmy. He said he had a bullet in the back of his neck, lodged close to his spine. We waited at that hospital all night, and in the morning he was removed to Jackson, where they operated. The doctor said he removed a large, copper-jacketed bullet, and that the bullet had lodged close to Jimmy's spine, and if it had had a little more force when it entered, he would have been killed instantly, since it was headed for a vital brain area. That began the third phase of the voter registration project in Greenwood. We gathered our people from the various towns around the Delta where they were working and moved into Greenwood to see if we couldn't have a crash program to try and get as many Negroes as we could to go down to register to vote. It seemed to be the only way to answer this kind of violence was, instead of letting up, to pour it on. Instead of backing out, to move more people in. Instead of giving any signs of fear, to show them that for once the Negro was not going to turn around, that it was not possible to shoot him out, and that if anything was going to happen at all, it was going to be increased activity. We worked all of March, and as was to be expected, there was more violence. Sam Block and Willie Peacock were shot at in front of the office one night as they were parked, having come back from the church where they were getting together a clothes shipment. White men drove up close by the car, took a shotgun, and blasted through the windows, so close that the pellets didn't have a chance to spread out, and luckily, none of the four people in the car were injured. About a week later, a group of white men shot into a group of Negroes coming out of the Negro Theater. And then finally, late in March, one of our workers, George Green, was shot at just as he entered his house, having returned home late at night from work in the office. That next morning we gathered on the church steps of Wesley Methodist Church in Greenwood and started singing. And we sang and we sang and we sang. And people gathered around, and finally we sang "We Shall Overcome" in a big circle. And I talked to them and explained to them why I thought we needed to walk downtown to do two things: protest to City Hall about the shootings, because any time unlicensed cars drive around the town and subsequently shoot at Negroes with white people in the car, the police have to be implicitly involved. It doesn't seem to me possible that unlicensed cars with white men in them can drive around the Negro community and cause violence and the police don't know about them. So we were going to protest to the police at City Hall and then go on to the courthouse to register another type of protest and try and register to vote. We never got to the courthouse. We were met at the police station with police dogs. They told us to turn around or the dog would be turned loose on them. We left City Hall and started towards the courthouse. We walked about 2 blocks and the police met us again. They had some police carrying guns, some on motorcycles, and some in their cars. Finally, Jim Foreman and Lawrence Guillot were arrested, and we turned back to walk to the church. When we got to the church, the police who had followed us all the way back then began to arrest the voting workers as they were trying to get the people into cars to carry them by car to the courthouse. Myself and 8 others were arrested, put in the city jail, and later transferred to the county jail where we stayed for a week. While we were in jail, we heard that the people were marching and trying to get down to the courthouse, that Dick Gregory had come to town, and that there was a great deal of uproar about the situation in Greenwood. For us, the events in Greenwood represented a major breakthrough. For the first time, we had hundreds of people lined up at the courthouse in an effort to register to vote. We had gotten people off the plantations where they'd been strapped in the toughest way to economic poverty and the mores of segregation, and gotten them to come in and face the white man.